Welcome to Hug Nation. This week, I wanted to talk a little bit about taking control over your thoughts and being aware of the pressures, the flow, the influence that goes on all around you. And that if you're not aware of it, it can be very easy to get caught up into motivations and ideas and thoughts and feelings that really are not yours. A lot of people, I asked before this morning if anyone had suggestions for topics. And a lot of people, there was a lot of great ones, and maybe we'll get specific later, but the kind of running theme was how to kind of break out of negative thoughts, how to get through painful experiences, how to let go. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that, just in general, like how do you shift your thinking from a bad place to a good place? Sometimes you hear people say, you know, you just got to decide to be happy. And if you're someone who is struggling with dark thoughts or depression, hearing somebody say, just decide to be happy, kind of makes you want to take a shovel and slam them in the side of the face. Because that is a true statement, actually, but it's not quite that simple. Your thoughts, your patterns of thinking, the way you think, is an incredibly intricate process. And it has been developing your entire life. Saying, just decide to be happy, is kind of like saying, just decide to deadlift 2,000 pounds. I mean, in some ways, it's as easy as deciding. But when you go to try to do it, you're not prepared. You're not trained. You're not equipped. So if you want to decide to lift 2,000 pounds, you better start training. And the same is true with deciding to be happy. You have to train. You have to practice. Jacob Glass at jacobglass.com has a happiness boot camp that he recommends, or that he's created, that I highly recommend. It is worth doing. I'm exceptionally guilty of this, and I know most people I know are, is that you want to be happier, but it's tough to do the work required to do so. Jacob talks about, you know, that you know, is anyone here actually on or ever been on a antidepressant? You know, the doctor will say, you know, you have to stick with this for a certain amount of time before we know if it's being helpful. You have to, you know, whether it's 3 weeks to 3 months or longer sometimes before your system, you know, gets enough of the chemical in you before you can start to be able to evaluate if it's helpful. And I know a lot of people, myself included, that were willing to take a pill for months and months and see if it worked, but were not willing to do a happiness work boot camp for 30 days or longer. And it's indicative of our culture that, you know, if there's a pill that can make you so you don't have to do the work, that's obviously the first choice. But I wanted to talk first about kind of anchor and drive home the point that you need to do this. Why is it so important to be practicing your happiness, to be disciplining your mind? The world is in action, is in motion. And the, you know, one of the things that we talk about here, or I like to talk about, is, you know, float more, steer less. And people kind of, last week we talked about an often say, you know, well, what's the difference between floating more and going with the flow and, you know, just surrendering? And someone mentioned in chat, you know, it's more like, it's not go with the flow, it's row with the flow. It's figuring out what feels right to you. What is this, the kind of, the direction of love and compassion and connection? And then once you kind of feel a draw on that, then paddling in that direction. But it's not just whatever happens, happens. Because there are so many forces going on that are not in your best interest. In fact, I would guess that there's a lot of things that you are being driven by right now that are not in your best interest, that you have gotten in some way. There's a great book, Freakonomics, that go through all of these examples, studies all of these populations of people, and shows how people are driven by motivation of some sort. I mean, I guess that's common sense, but by looking at all these examples, you can go, oh, right, you know, nobody does anything unless they have a motivation of some sort. Whether they're hungry, they need food. If they are broke, they need money. You know, there's always, it's either financial or, moral, or there's some reason why everybody does everything. And understanding those motivations can help you decide if the values, thoughts, and stories that are happening out there are things that you should be adopting. Or if they are things you've adopted, are they things that you should be sticking with? One of the core struggles of a spiritual path is trying to discern what of your thoughts and motivations are things that have been layered on top of you through your socialization that maybe have nothing to do with who you are and what you really care about. And what of those things that are coming from your heart? So let me just paint a picture. If you can understand the motivation, you can kind of give yourself some distance and maybe some wariness. For example, television. I no longer watch television. I watch some things on Hulu now, which have commercials, which reminds me, like, oh my gosh, I have not been watching commercials for a while. Television is free. Because television executives love you and they want to keep you entertained? No. Television is free because of advertising. Advertising wants to influence your behavior in order to sell a product or service. It works. It absolutely works. This whole industry is based on the fact, that marketing / manipulation will make us buy things. So by being a consumer of television, you are saying, I am jumping into the lion's den and allowing this industry to kind of wail away at my thoughts and brain. And I need to be on my guard if I'm not going to be swept up. Now, what is marketing? What are they trying to do? They want you to buy something or do something. So the crazy amount of research and science and social science have figured out that how do they do that? You create a need. You make people feel like something is lacking. If you are unhappy in your life and you're watching television, that is step one. Because the motivation, you can watch the motivation and flow of this whole process of entertainment through television and know that all the things surrounding television are based on getting you to feel like something is missing so that you go and change your behavior to consume. But everything is like that. You know, something as altruistic as medicine, you know, helping the sick. The industry of medicine, the industry of the pharmaceutical industry is motivated. What's their motivation? To sell their product. They're not motivated to make people better. They're actually motivated to treat people forever. It's if you think about the motivation, you sell something. Do you want to sell something that people buy once, or do you want to sell something that people buy for the rest of their lives? My brother was noticing that as he was shopping for toys this year, like his kids play with the toys that are hand-me-downs that he and I used, I don't know, how old are we? Like 97 years ago? I don't know, 30 years ago? And the toys that we were playing with are still functional. And so his kids are playing with them. But he compared them with the toys that they're buying. He's like, there's no freaking way that the toys that he's buying his kids are going to survive. They're made to break. We have, what's it called? Obsolescence, the built-in obsolescence to so much of our culture now that the industrial and the commercial system has realized that they're motivated to keep you buying. So if they create things that do not last, you're in the system and you're buying forever. unfortunately, that applies to medicine too. Now, unfortunately too, any organization created to solve a problem, as soon as it is an organization, is now no longer motivated to solve that problem. Does that make sense? So if you are, you know, you get together as a group of people that we're going to solve cancer. We're now the cancer solver, you know, fixer, healer club. As soon as you're created, you have a motivation to keep yourself as an organization. So solving cancer would kill you. You have self-preservation. You no longer motivated to do it. That is true with the defense. You know, the military system, are they any motivated at all to stop war? No. Are they, is a religious organization motivated to get people to a state of self-sufficiency and enlightenment? No, they're actually motivated to keep people in a state of requiring and needing the church. News in general is motivated to keep you addicted to news. Oh, kind of got myself on a roll there. But I mention all of this because it is important to understand the motivations of all these forces around you, and that as you float, there are currents, some of them very powerful, running through your world that are not in your best interest. And that it is often very hard to start to tune in to what is important to you, to feel the love and the compassion that you inherently want to be and express when all of these other pressures and all of these other motivations are kind of starting to layer on and brainwash you and hypnotize you. But if you can start to see, wait a minute, these people are not my friends. These people don't have my interest in mind. During Black Friday, I remember watching all the commercials leading up to it, and you see these, and I remember I was getting so irked because it was so clear how these big corporations are just totally trying to tweak us and like, okay, I know people need something, want something cheaper than they should. In fact, in the commerce game of our culture, getting something below, you know, market value is kind of like, you know, getting the gold ring. And so these puppeteers dangle the carrots in front of us, and we, you know, become cattle and lemurs and lemurs. We become just pawns as we don't know what the motivations are. And it's so clear as I'm watching Black Friday that we are being herded into this shopping frenzy. That even though there's a part of me, and I'll be like, oh wow, a flat screen TV for that. Whoa, stop it, they got you. Pull back. And as you know, I'm getting, you know, now I get like emails from all of everything that I've ever bought online. They're having a, you know, holiday sale. And sometimes I'm like, ooh, that's a good deal. Oh, stop it. They know me so well. Of course they do. They've got so much money, resources, and science behind the manipulation of us. So trying to just kind of put a break between that, trying to put a level of analysis between why, what is the motivation, can help you to analyze where this is coming from. And it's also can help you in that process of trying to figure out, is this motivation I have from myself? Is this something that I really believe in, that it stimulates my values, that make me feel more in alignment, that kind of makes me resonate with my bliss and my joy? Or is this something that has been layered on from some fear, by some feeling of righteousness that has been handed to me by some external organization because of their motivations? It's tempting to feel like the world is simple. So much of the political dialogue in our country is dependent on our desire for simplicity, our desire for a black and white world. But the world is so gray and it's so complicated, and people's motivations and manipulation of those motivations is so sinister and so complicated that it is hard to ever know what's going on. You know, there was, remember when you know the Tea Party, that there was arguing, or people came out of where some of their financing was coming from. It's like, whoa. So what's the motivation? How's this being steered? And as I watch the current political stuff and current even Occupy stuff, I can't help but wonder, as things happen, as certain things, like if I was a hardcore Occupy movement revolutionary, I would find a way to infiltrate the police and encourage you know, police officers to pepper spray people, because that would then shift the motivations around, cause anger here, cause people to do that. Does that make any sense? There's things that I see in the news that I just go, that just can't be so simple, or that can't make sense, and sometimes it's not so simple. There's a thing that Noam Chomsky talks about, manufacturing consent. And the idea is that if you're a dictator, you can do whatever you want. You're the power person, you do whatever you want. But in a democracy, and you're in power, you still do whatever you want. You just have to go through this process of manufacturing consent. You have to convince people to believe what you want them to believe and figure out how to do that. So let's say you want to invade Iraq. You convince the people that this country has weapons of mass destruction, and that we are one, failing as, you know, protectors of the earth, and two, putting ourselves in massive danger if we aren't proactive to take care of this threat. Okay? Now, my initial desire as ruler to invade Iraq has nothing to do with that, but I have to create this story, manufacture consent, so that then the people are like, we have to do this. And then as a ruler, I go, okay, if you say so. That process of manufacturing consent is happening all the time. And often, the things that we feel like are motivating us are because we have been the victims of some sort of manufacturing of consent. So try to keep that in mind as you are frustrated, as you are in pain, because get this, the judgment that we have on ourselves, the feelings of inadequacy, all of the guilt and all of the judgment, all of the negative feelings that we have are probably things layered on top of us as a tool of some sort of manufactured consent, as some sort of tool to adjust and steer us to a behavior that benefits somebody greater than us. If we are in a vacuum, we are love. We are perfect and full and capable. Our needs are met. Our love is flowing. We are not as damaged and in pain as we often experience, because we are at the whims of so many of these larger forces and are not critical enough about putting distance between them. That practice of coming into the now, that practice of being critical of our thoughts, all of that is a practice of recognizing your divinity, of recognizing your amazingness, recognizing your perfection, recognizing that you have and are perfect. Now, that doesn't mean you just sit in a bubble and just, you know, absorb nutrients from the air. It means that you, when you get scared and freaked out and stressed, you pull back into that comfort place, that knowledge of your miraculousness, that knowledge and awareness and feeling of the love in your life. And then you can take on the next task from that place of peace and have faith that one thing at a time, coming into the now, acting towards the future, it will be okay. It may not be the way that you envisioned it. It may not be the way that you've been trained and hypnotized to believe it should be. But it will be perfect. The universe flows perfectly. The vast majority of everything about our humanness happens perfectly. We breathe, our hearts beat, we heal ourselves. As at this moment, I have snot accumulating as cells fight other cells to get me back into a place of perfect balanced health. Amazing. And yet, it is so easy because of these messages and manipulation to feel like if we don't, we will be. You're perfect. You're doing great. You're on track. The track is one that is created as you walk. If you believe there is a track that needs to be followed and you need to strive for it, that was not created by you in the divine. The track that you are on, you are only aware of it. You have to take the step and it is created to meet your foot. We need to learn to have faith in us, have faith in the truth of simply being, faith in our capacities as loving beings, and then seeing everything else out there as a jungle, as a place that we can adventure into as long as we keep ourselves as source, keep ourselves as our authority. So if you are trying to figure out how to shift, if you want to just be happy, jacobglass.com, the Happiness Bootcamp, and start to become aware of the motivations and the manipulations that are coming from you. They're coming from the outside. If you are stressed, why? What is the story that is creating that? And before you know it, you'll be deadlifting 2,000 pounds. Actually, I don't even know if that's possible. I just made that up. But I trust you. I believe in you. And I am grateful that you are one of those reflections of all that is possible and amazing. One of those reflections of the motivations that come from heart. There are many of us who are seeking to be in alignment with love and light and truth. And those are the people that can reflect back to us what is important, that can help us to align and help us to get back on track and remind us of the things that we do need to invest ourselves in and connect with. So thank you for being one of those things, for amplifying this awareness, for being on your own path and sharing your light. Even when the world might be saying, get in line, buy this, you're not enough. You are awesome, and I'm so grateful for you. Thank you. Namaste.
You, beautiful person, are listening to the Hug Nation podcast with Halcyon, recorded live every Tuesday, hugnation.com.
You only live once. Enjoy the color.